to get in our Madden tournament. That's coming up on February 6th. I'm going to sign somebody else up today. And we've been picky on the days we're doing this, man. I mean, you're competing for a PS5. The winner gets a PS5 thanks to Greeley Bears Pop Warner. They're donating this. We're doing this. We're doing the tournament at NoCo Mobile Gaming. It is a It's exactly how it sounds. It is a gaming trailer, and it is awesome on the inside. When you go inside and you play, you kind of feel like you're at one of those arcades with the lighting and the TVs in front of you, but it's awesome. They come to your location. We're going to do it at St. Michael's Square, so we're asking folks to come out there and be a part of this and compete. I want the best of the best out there, man. I mean, you're competing for a PS5. Winner takes the whole thing. No gimmick, nothing like that. No purchase necessary of anything. You just we're going to register somebody today, get them in the mix, and then we start building our brackets. 6 minutes after the hour, first advantage text line is 970-478-1301, 970-478-1301. My latest deep thoughts from a wandering mind are out, and it's about, hey, it's time to hand that, I guess basically give the superstar handoff to Michael Porter Jr. I want to see more from him. Obviously, he has a lot of questions to answer, but from what I've seen, I think this guy's going to be an offensive juggernaut. I think he's going to be the kind of guy that drops in 30 like it's nothing. Jamal Murray, I get it. There's some health concerns there, but he's going to be an inconsistent player. That's who he is. 5 years into his career, I mean, how many superstars are out there where you go 5 years into their career and we still have to ask whether they're a superstar or not? Not many of them. I know there's the rare cases where 5, 6, 7 years, and then a guy really starts to ramp it up and he's really, really good. But I think this is who Jamal is, and I'm not saying that I'm done with Jamal Murray in Denver. I'm just saying that you're paying him a lot. So that's the tough part, is you're paying him like a superstar, but, you know, he's not consistently going to be that way. Is he going to have nights where he plays like a superstar? Yes. He's going to have several nights. He's going to have four games in a row where he scores 36, and hooligans all over the nation are going to text the show and say, there you go, man. That's what happens when you give up on Murray, and then I'll wait till game five, and he'll drop in a nice 10. So, I mean, and then I also look at the other stats. Where are your other stats? Talked about that to start the show. What's your average in assists? What's your average in rebounds? So, again, we can't really answer those questions fully, though, until Porter is back on the floor. So we're going to find out in about 5-6 minutes from Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV if he's going to play. If he's going to play tomorrow. I'm curious to see. Dixon... What do you got here? Brady, do you think you might be giving Chubb a little too much credit? He hasn't been that special. I didn't say he was. But name another asset on your team that you could package in a deal for Deshaun Watson. You don't even have Justin Simmons signed yet. And I listen, if you know, George Payton said it the other day, a lot of key takeaways from his press conference, but he said, we want to take care of our young players. We want to keep those guys here. And I'm excited to talk to Justin Simmons. So it does sound like that's a priority. Simmons is, I guess he's the guy you build around, but do you sign and trade? I mean, you could go that route, I suppose. But I more or less see Denver saying, all right, he's the guy we're sticking with. We're going to grow with him. Although that's kind of a scary prospect, too. If you're building around a defensive player that's really, Justin hasn't been a part of any of the successful teams. I mean, his first year that he was the 9-7 year. So, or at least they lie. I think that was his first year. Maybe he was on that Super Bowl roster, but he wasn't. He didn't play. So I do think that Chubb's your best asset at this point. So I'm not really saying, hey, he's that special. He's one of your other package deals. And again, I think you're so deep at wide receiver that it just makes sense to move on from a receiver. Lieutenant Spangle says Stafford is still a lead, in my opinion. He has crazy good numbers, and they haven't put a team around him. Why not go there? And they might. They might. I mean, Stafford with Denver, yeah, you definitely take Deshaun Watson over Stafford, but he would make sense. Dixon said, oh, I thought you were, he said he was untouchable. He's harder to replace. Yes, he is. Who are you replacing him with? Malik Reed? Von Miller? That, I mean, he's your best pass rusher. He's your best outside pass rusher. So he's harder to replace than a wide receiver on your team because you have KJ Hamler, Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick maybe, and Courtland Sutton. Those guys all could potentially be a number one guy. You know, Tim Patrick was really good this year, and I think that surprised a lot of us. But, you know, you don't draft Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler that early if you don't think they can be number ones and number twos. So you're deeper there, and that's why it's more intriguing. Your best assets are Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton, and Bradley Chubb. You're not messing with that offensive line. It took forever for you to get this offensive line to a point where you're somewhat happy with it. So you're not touching that, I don't think. I mean, maybe a Juwan James, but I don't know anybody that's going to take that contract up at this point. So, no, you're not messing with that. Melvin Gordon's got the 1 year left on his deal. And, again, I don't think that's – nobody was jumping out at free agency to go get him. So you're not really accepting that part of a package deal. Drew Lock, is that – is he appealing to – is he still appealing? He's not going to be the guy that gets it over the top. He's going to be the add-in for good measure. I don't think it's happening, but if you had to pick between those three guys, because to me that's your – those are the ones that I would imagine would come up in discussion if I'm another GM, is I'm looking at your roster and I see Bradley Chubb, I see Courtland Sutton, all right, I see Jerry Jeudy. Those are the big names. Texter says you can find a lot of guys that can get you 7 to 8 sacks. I mean, Dixon is like, the sacks are the end-all be-all for you. It's not just about that. I mean, if you watch closely, he has a lot of quarterback pressures. He shoves offensive linemen into the quarterback a lot of times, bounces a quarterback out. Is he elite? Is he a top 10? No. But he's also, you know, I don't know that we've really got to see a full Bradley Chubb, what he can really do. 2 years ago, he was out. He did battle some injuries. I'm telling you, this defense is not they're never in a position where they can pin their ears back and go get the quarterback. They haven't been in years because they're usually not ahead. They're usually not forcing teams to have to change up their game plan late and throw it all the time. And you can say that, well, if you need that, then you're not elite. Well, a lot of pass rushers get sacks when they can pin their ears back and they know what's coming. That's the way it is. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301, 478-1301. Who would you go with if you had to get rid of one of those guys? I lean definitely toward Jerry Jeudy. I think that's a big-time asset because he's young. He's got the first year in. You could easily argue away, oh, well, he's a rookie on a bad team. So cut us some slack. You could easily make the case there that you could throw him in for three first-round picks. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to, does Deshaun Watson see that the Broncos, that Denver's a place he wants to be, which don't see why not. Denver's a cool city. I mean, the weather's not terrible compared to some of these other places you might look at. Not like Miami, but, you know, you have to also look at it and say, can I find success here? Because you're already making your money. Don't you want to be a part of that greatness conversation? Because if that's the case, you're going to look at a team. Because, again, the Broncos are the worst part about this team last year was the quarterback. You didn't have the guy. So if you have a guy that's a little bit better, a lot better, whatever, don't you think Denver's suddenly a playoff team? Yeah, I mean, quarterbacks make that difference, especially guys like Deshaun Watson. 14 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a quick break. We'll get Chris Dempsey on the line from Altitude TV. Nuggets coming off a win against OKC, a monster road trip coming up. Will they have Michael Porter Jr.? And we'll get the latest on the NBA. Is there a pause coming when you're talking about the COVID situation? All that and more coming up next. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Hall Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. No Code Now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
19 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. It's the Hull Show, and we're powered by PDC Energy. Joining us now on our First Advantage Hotline, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Nice win for the Nuggets the other night against Oklahoma City. Chris, that was I hate saying must wins. I kind of said it already, but that was one you kind of feel like really needed a win with this five-game road stretch coming up.
Yeah, you want to start taking care of the games that that are going to put you in position to be able to maybe absorb some performances that you're not going to be proud of in the future. And what the Nuggets hadn't done was a lot of that. So, you know, their record was under 500, and then at 500, then under 500. And so, what you need is that foundation stuff to start turning into victories, and your good habits that you create on the court to start manifesting itself into successful quarters, halves, and then games. And I thought it was important for them to be able to put together a performance like that and continue to build and to get to being the team they want to be. And you're right. I mean, this road trip, it's not easy. You know, you got right off the top, you have back-to-back games against the Phoenix Suns, and obviously Phoenix has been pretty good to start the season.
Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude TV. All right, the big question everybody's wanting to know, Chris, Michael Porter Jr., can we expect him on the road trip? Can we expect him tomorrow night?
Yeah, so what Michael Malone said to the media today was that he's not sure. he hopes to have Michael Porter at some point during this road trip. So MPJ has been upgraded to questionable. But apparently there's still a battery of tests that have to be done. And then after that, Michael Malone mentioned a conditioning exam that has to be done and just a bunch of other stuff that he didn't know every single detail to before Michael Porter Jr. could get back on the court. I think if I'm reading between the lines, if I'm reading the tea leaves, I think that we will absolutely see Michael Porter Jr. on this road trip. It's just the question is will that be tomorrow or Saturday, right in these first two games? I'm not super sure, but before this road trip is out, we'll see him, and they'll need him. You know, they need some extra scoring, a pop, obviously, and he's the third leading scorer on the team, so you need that kind of guy back in your lineup.
Chris, it's a complicated question, but is there more going on? Is there frustration with MPJ? Obviously, he got COVID, and, you know, that's one thing. But even before with the contact tracing, it did seem like Malone, a couple of questions were asked early about MPJ. He didn't really want to answer those questions. I get it was coming off of, the Mavericks loss. And then my brain starts working, going back to the bubble. Porter said a few things about how to run certain plays, blah, blah, blah. Is everything good there? Are we good? Or is Mike Malone and Michael Porter Jr. good?
Yeah, I think so. I think the situation is really unfortunate. I mean, if you're talking about looking across the NBA, Michael Porter Jr.'s case as an individual player has been the longest case a player has been out for health and safety protocols so far this season. And so I'm sure there's a little, you know, frustration with the fact that he's just been gone for so long. I mean, it's been 10 games already since we've last seen him. But from the standpoint of, anything else going on, no, they recognize that they need him. They want him. Michael Malone really has repeatedly expressed that he really wants him back in the lineup. And so I think that once he's back, he'll be back. And, you know, they'll try to get right back to what they were trying to do with him in the first place, which is get him in the starting lineup, get him, you know, comfortable alongside those other four guys who have worked so well together in the starting lineup, and then obviously reap the rewards of any points and rebounding production that Michael Porter gives you.
Chris, you've followed so much basketball, so much Nuggets basketball in your career. How do you get a guy like Porter? Now, we know offensively he's gifted, and rebounding the basketball he's gifted, but how do you get a guy, ultimately, when you get him back out there, to play better defense? Because there are bad defensive players in the NBA, but, you know, it's not necessarily for a lack of trying. Porter just oftentimes looks so lost out there when it comes to the defensive side.
Yeah, and I think for him it's just a repetition thing. Like, he's going to have to be out there all the time. And the coaching staff will have to obviously stay on him in terms of, you know, possessions or quarters or whatever where he might be not going full speed or might not understand exactly what is being asked of him within the defensive system at that point in time. And so, you know, that'll be for the coaching staff and quite frankly for his teammates too, to say, hey, you should be over here. You know, we saw Mason Plumlee do that quite often with Michael Porter Jr., say, on the defensive end, say, hey, no, you need to be right here. You need to be paying attention to this over here. I mean, just helping him stay in the right spots more often than not. And so, you know, I think his teammates have to hold him accountable. The coaches obviously certainly will. Michael Malone, you know, certainly will hold him accountable on the defensive end. And then Michael Porter has to hold himself accountable and understand that if – he becomes a huge liability on the defensive end, that, you know, that they might turn back to Will Barton in the starting lineup and say, hey, you know what, we know what he's able to do, and then we'll have the scoring punch of Michael Porter off the bench. And so I think for Michael Porter, he's got to, you know, look at this from his own standpoint and say, okay, well, you know, okay, now that I've got this starting job, how do I keep it? Especially when you have a player who has been the starter and plays really well on the defensive end for them. So, yeah, I think all those things have to be true for Michael Porter, and then obviously you have to be on the court just repeatedly, just going through all the situations to be able to ultimately get better. And I think he'll get every opportunity to prove that he continues that he can continue to improve on the defensive side.
Chris, what's going on with Jamal Murray? That elbow, I know he's talked about it. He's had some inconsistencies in the past, but there just seems to be something off with him, especially the last few games.
Yeah, I really do think it's the elbow in this case. You know, you're right. I mean, he's probably talked about this elbow injury more and more in depth than maybe any other injury he's ever had in his young career still in the NBA. And I think if it's resonating with him that much, this is it's an issue that he's gonna just have to really deal with. I mean, I think that elbow is probably pretty painful. I mean, if Jamal Murray, who, you know, played in his first full season through a sports hernia, is you know, remarking about how difficult it is to get through this elbow issue, then it really is definitely painful. And it's right at the wrong, it's on the wrong arm, you know, it's like the shooting arm.
Yeah.
You know, you know, he had a couple of games ago, he had this big first half, like 24, 26 points in the first half. And then in the second half, he was something like 2 for 10. And I just got to believe that once you get it warmed up and if you can avoid big hits to it, then he feels fine. But now you go into a halftime, it gets cold, it gets stiff, and now you got to ramp it right back up again. And maybe we'll start to see, well, that might be a regular occurrence with some of these uneven halves, especially when the first half is really good and the second half is a little more suspect with him. While that elbow, just has time to heal, which is obviously harder when you're using it all the time and it's getting hit and he's hitting the floor. So I think we're just in for this for a while, and you know, he'll work through it and do his best. But I think this is just where we're going to be for the foreseeable future with Jamal Murray.
Well, and Chris, it's hard too, because I've talked about this, even when Jamal's not giving you the crazy 36-point nights, I mean, he's still a valuable player to your team. So it's hard for Mike Malone to say, hey, we're going to shut you down for a week or two, especially when you're sitting at 7-7. Now every game becomes pretty darn important. So we're not going to see anything like that, right? Where you do not, I hate to call it load management, because this would actually be for an injury. But doubtful we would see anything like that, right?
Yeah, I think they're trying to avoid it right now. And Michael Malone did speak to this a couple of Zooms ago, where he did say that it was difficult, you know, especially given the start that the Nuggets got off to, and, you know, not being the greatest start record-wise, that he needed Jamal Murray on the basketball court to help them win games. And if he found areas within games or within stretches of the season that he could sit him or could rest him, he would definitely try. I think we did see him absolutely do that in the Nuggets' last game when in the second half. And, I mean, I think Jamal Murray may have played 20 minutes in that game total. So, you know, you blow out a team, you get Jamal Murray right off the court and get him a chance to get some extra moments to heal or just to not have that elbow be hit or being used in that manner a lot. So I think he's just going to try to find spaces within games to do that. Or, you know, the Nuggets are coming up on a stretch where it's 3 games in 4 nights. And, you know, does he play all 3 games in the 4 nights, or does he take the second of the back-to-back against Phoenix off, and we bring him back, you know, 2 nights later? So we'll see. I mean, I think this is just kind of a fluid situation. If the Nuggets start winning a bunch of games, though, and now you can feel a little bit comfortable about your standing in the standings and your record overall and how the team's playing, you might see him take a few more chances with that as well. But while the Nuggets are trying to get their feet under them as a team, I think they're going to want Jamal Murray out there more often than not. And quite frankly, Jamal Murray said he wants to be out there. So, you know, with those forces being at work, we'll still see him out there and maybe not as much of the load management stuff.
Yeah, and this is why, you know, whether you end up resting him or not, which again, it sounds like no, you need so many different guys to step up. Obviously, we're seeing Joker put together ridiculous numbers, but you're gonna need to see this reemergence of Gary Harris. The depth, the bench being able to come out and provide, you know, if you can see games like you saw against the Thunder, everybody's getting in the mix in that game. But you're going to need a lot of that, Chris, and like we talked about to start the show, or the segment with MPJ, you're going to need those points to come in, at least while Murray, maybe you do peel back a few minutes, especially if you can get some leads. But you're basically going to need a few guys to step up and make up for it.
Well, that's a really good point. You know, if you're getting scoring from a guy like MPJ, you know, that maybe can take some pressure off of Jamal in that area. And so, yeah, I mean, that's it's a big deal. And then also getting MPJ back. You know, the Nuggets still have this one issue that they're going to have to work through. It's going to probably take the remainder of the first half of the season and into the second half, which is, what is their lineup? What does their rotations look like when Michael Porter's back? When everybody's healthy, what does that look like? Like, we know what it is right now with MPJ out and, you know, that second unit really being Green, Morris, Campazzo, Hartenstein, and Dozier. But, okay, so now you're playing 10 players. Michael Porter makes it 11, so who is coming in and out of those lineups now? How do those rotations work with Michael Porter? They were just barely scratching the surface of beginning to figure that kind of stuff out. And they really, you know, Michael Porter was playing at a time Jermichael Green wasn't. So,
yeah.
You know, they haven't had those two guys actually on the court or in the roster, you know, active in the roster at the same time at any point this season. So it's, you know, there's another layer of stuff that they have to get through when MPJ comes back.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. That's a great point about Jermichael Green, because it seems like every game we're seeing him just get better and better. One more for you, Chris. At this point, I might do this every week, the MVP watch, because we haven't had this conversation often when you're talking about the Denver Nuggets and their history. Nikola Jokic still averaging that triple-double. Is it realistic to say he might be the MVP this year?
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. I mean, you know, his effect on winning and on this basketball. Think of this. What if Nikola Jokic wasn't getting off to this kind of start? And the Nuggets, you know, it's like that.
Yeah.
That's scary to think about, because, you know, obviously the Nuggets have started this season slowly, but if they haven't had what they've gotten from Nikola Jokic, they could be in a much worse situation right now than what they're in, right? Than what they find themselves in. And, yeah, I mean, Nikola Jokic, what he's doing every single night. I mean, it's not even a question as to whether he's going to score or not. I mean, he goes out, he puts up a bunch of points, a bunch of rebounds, gets a ton of assists, and puts the Nuggets at least in position to win every single night, if not winning those games. And so, and as the Nuggets get better, his prospects will get better, too. You know, I mean, you're talking about the eliminating factor right now, if you talk to people nationally about him, yeah, he's having a great start, but the Nuggets aren't winning a ton of games. And so that's the piece that's going to have to change for him to nationally be bona fide top 3 candidate right now. But certainly from the production standpoint and what he means to this basketball team, I mean, it is realistic. It's legit. He will ultimately be on the short list. We've seen him there before. And you know, all he's got to do is keep doing this. The wins will come, and when the wins come, he'll rise nationally in that in that conversation as well.
Yeah, a big test coming up, like you said, Phoenix on Friday and Saturday, then at Dallas, then at Miami, then at San Antonio. So if the Nuggets can come out of this okay, maybe they can get their season back on track, and then we are ramping up that conversation about Joker even more. Chris, always appreciate you, man. Hey, what time are you altitude tomorrow, or is it Saturday? What's that look like for you guys?
Yeah, it's both days. So altitude tomorrow, I think it's also an ESPN game tomorrow too, so everybody should be able to see the game no matter what platform you're watching that on. So it's tomorrow we'll be there. I'll be in studio on Saturday too for the back-to-back. Our coverage tomorrow, I believe, starts at 6 p.m. with the pregame show, and then the Phoenix Suns, we'll see them twice, and that should be a lot of fun.
I love it, man. I'll see what happens. Chris, appreciate you as always, and we'll catch you up with you next week.
All right, we'll talk to you.
All right, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV at Phoenix tomorrow night, and then at Phoenix again on Saturday. So see if they can get off to a great start. 35 minutes after the hour. Colfax, let's go ahead. Let's register somebody. I'm going to take caller number 8 on our First Advantage hotline. Caller number 8, you're in. You call our hotline now. Be caller 8. You are in the Madden Challenge, February 6th. We're going to be setting up with NoCo Mobile Gaming at St. Michael Square in Greeley. And the winner gets a free PS5. It's going to be a lot of fun. Taverns say, hey, we got the to-go beer out there, too, so you can bring it out, set it on the table, grab a drink, go in and play your game. It's going to be so much fun. But we're going to take caller number 8 now, 970-353-1310. 970-353-1310. If you're caller 8, you're in our first official Madden tournament. Winner gets a free PS5. Thursday night special coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Thursday, Thursday, happy days. Thursday, Thursday, happy days. Thursday, Thursday, happy days. Thursday, what a day, making a pick with you. This pick is yours, so choose to ride. This pick is yours, so please be right. Fortune, goodbye reason. She's wearing the lock so loud and proud. She's my steady, I'm her man. I'm gonna pick right all I can. This pick is yours, so please be right.
Yes. I forgot how good that one was, man. That one right there. I mean, if that doesn't say get ready for Thursday night, I don't know what else does. Thursday night's the most important night. The Thursday night special is, by several magazines, has been called the greatest segment in the history of radio. Perhaps the most important, especially in this day and age. Important radio segments are important, I guess you could say. And this one is just as important as all of them. Tonight. All right, let's go back. My first win of the season was last week. I picked the Bears to win, the Northern Colorado Bears, kind of struggling against their conference play. They beat Idaho, a team they were supposed to beat. Hooligans across the land said, Brady, that's an easy one. Well, I'm sticking with the Big Sky Conference tonight. Eastern Washington comes to town to take on the UNC Bears. The Bears are 7-6, but 4-4 in conference play. Eastern Washington started out the season pretty rough, kind of a tough non-conference schedule, 3-5 overall, but 2-1 in conference play, and they beat Southern Utah the other day. So Southern Utah has stormed to the front in the conference. I mean, that's a good basketball team. So it's not going to be necessarily easy tonight for the UNC Bears. They beat Eastern Washington, beat Northern Arizona. They battled with Washington State out of the Pac-12, and they lost by 3 to Arizona. It's not a bad basketball team. In fact, that record doesn't tell you anything about Eastern Washington. However, they're only 3-point favorites. Figured it'd be a little bit more than that. The Bears have been, I think the word of the day, inconsistent. At times, they look really, really good. They'll get up on a team by 15, and then they go to sleep. They let a group right back in. When will they get it right? We talked to Mark Johnson about Washington yesterday, saying when that chemistry gets right, look out. I think the chemistry is going to get right tonight. I like the Bears.
Hold on to your butt.
Hello there, folks. This is your volunteer fire chief, Yogi Bear.
Oh, the Bear. We're talking, of course, about Man Bear Pig. Man Bear Pig. Oh, my goodness.
Lions and tigers.
It is a creature which roams the earth alone. It is half man, half bear.
Oh,
the math doesn't make sense.
Tigers.
Bears.
I'm super cereal.
Something big is going on, and the American people need to know what. I'm on. Excelsior!
Go Bears! Oh, no. Not that bear again. Every time I make a bear pick, is that going to be the creepy bear from the
Revenant?
The Revenant?
Yeah, it has to be.
That bear is the worst bear in the world. That bear would not stop. Leo was down, man. That bear. Who's the worst enemy to Leo? The bear or Rose from Titanic? She wouldn't. She'd basically just let him drown, let him man. Drown. Who's worse, the bear or Rose?
I'm going Rose. On
yeah,
that
Rose
one.
Is awful. Yeah, the terrible. Bear's got to eat, man. Sees a dude there, and I think you're maybe messing with my cub. I don't like it. I'm going to eat your face.
Yep.
Rose, it's like maybe you could try to get him up on that door.
There's
and
plenty
and
of space.
There's space there, yeah. And they never really tried it. Now, if he crawls up there and they start sinking, okay, Leo, it's time for you to go.
Yeah.
But let's try it first, and maybe we both survive. But it's too risky to try it, I guess. Boy, that creepy bear. That thing's vicious. Eastern Washington, not a bad basketball team. They're 3-5, but it's pretty deceiving because look at who they've lost to. Pac-12 teams, Washington State, Arizona, Oregon, St. Mary's. I mean, these are good basketball teams. So I'm a little concerned about this pick, but I said from day one, I believe in this Bears team. I don't feel like they've put together everything just yet. But I'm telling you, man, Eastern Washington went up against great teams. But the spread's only 3. So somebody knows something. And I think tonight maybe is that night where you get rolling. The Bears have scored 66.6. Ooh, scary number. Points per game and allowed 65.4 points per game in conference play so far. Their improvements over their 65 points scored and 73 points allowed per game in non-conference opponents. So they're getting better every single game. And they have moments where they're very, very good. But the Bears have lost their last 3 home games, scoring an average of 65 points while giving up 75. So defensively, they're going to need to be really special tonight. And if they can get this one, they jump up and they can start climbing these standings. You know, last week, Colfax, they were 3rd from last place. But just like that, you win a couple of games, you move all the way up. Now they're right in the middle of the pack with Eastern Washington in front of them. So you could you wouldn't leapfrog them yet because Eastern Washington hasn't played a lot of conference games just yet, but it would certainly help. But you could move up that ladder because you do have teams like Montana State, Southern Utah, Sacramento State, they're doing really well in conference play. So you got to keep pace. That's why tonight's very important. 47 minutes after the hour. We'll take a quick break. We're going to wrap up with what's on TV tonight and our closing thoughts. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
New coach, new season, new hope. UNC Hoops can be heard right here on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
It's Got a great new sponsor, No Limit Collectibles. Buy, sell, trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. Stop by. Maybe you need to decorate that man cave. You know, it's time. You're building that up, and you've been putting it off for a while, but you want it to look sharp. Or maybe you're a card collector. You want to go in and check out their lineup. Man, they have so many options. Maybe you want to sell. You can buy, sell, trade. Collect at No Limit Collectibles. They're in the outlets in Loveland, and really, there's no limit to what you can collect. No Limit Collectibles. First Advantage text line 970-478-1301. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to that number. Our Power to Play Sports poll question changed a little bit because everybody said they would trade three first rounders. All right, well, Houston calls back and says, we're close. Deshaun likes you guys, but would you add Bradley Chubb, Jerry Jeudy, or Courtland Sutton? Which one would you add? Go to thewholeshow.com and vote. What's on tonight? A lot of local action. First off, on KFKA, you have Eastern Washington taking on UNC. That's my Thursday night special. You can hear that right here. Pre-game coverage, the Lemons Heating, Cooling, and Cooling, Heating and Air Cooling starts at 6 o'clock, 6:30 tip-off. Huge, huge opportunity for the Bears. 8 o'clock tonight on ESPN+. Plus, the Avs are back at it against L.A. Again, they're 2-1. They've won their last two. Started off that rough go against St. Louis, but bounced right back. 9 o'clock Mountain tonight is on FS1, CSU and Utah State. At least it's not a football game. It's basketball, so it won't be as long. But I'm going to give it a shot. I'll try to stay up for it. But the Rams were pretty much handled against Utah State earlier in the week on Tuesday. A heck of an opportunity for the Rams still tonight, though. If they can find a way to bounce back, I mean, they quickly changed that narrative right back to where it was. Seriously, I mean, I know they lost one, but if you can beat Utah State, you still go back to, all right, this team's still pretty damn good. This team might be great if you can find a way to split the team like Utah State. So a lot of local games on tonight. And again, that UNC Eastern Washington game here on 1310 KFKA. Nuggets get back at it on Friday, taking on Phoenix. And Chris told us that MPJ going to be on the road trip. So that's further along than we thought. But man, it's been like a month. So between the contact tracing and then actually getting COVID, he's been out for nearly a month, and Denver really needs him on this road stretch, especially if Jamal, listen, injury-wise, I feel for him, I get it, but I'm just not sold anymore that he's going to be this consistent player for Denver. I think he's going to give you flashes of brilliance, and maybe you can live with that. Maybe you can work with that. But you're going to need another guy that's consistently scoring in the 20s, in the mid-20s. And I do think that that's ultimately going to be Michael Porter Jr. That's going to do it for us. Stick around here on KFKA. The Herd with Colin Cowherd coming up. After that, we'll get to, big one, UNC Eastern Washington coming up a little bit later on. We'll register someone else for our Madden Challenge on a Friday edition of the whole show. Thanks for being with us as always. Good night, Northern Colorado.